Come on, Jock.
Come on, Jock.
Morning, brothers.
Good morning.
It's incredible to be together, man.
Hey.
I hope you had a good night's rest.
Come on.
Maybe you had a little kid wake you up at 3:30 in the morning.
Yes.
And you've been awake ever since.
Oh,
and you're ready to preach the word. You know, I got to appreciate Andrew, man. Let's give it up for his lesson. You know, I love the sandwich illustration, but I never thought of the meat in the middle.
Amen.
See, because someone hands you that thing in the middle right there, that's the nutritious part.
Yeah.
That's what really corrects and rebukes you, amen?
Oh,
you know, I'm excited to be together. You know, I wouldn't be here today if a disciple didn't reach out to me.
That's it.
By God's grace, I have a vision of the kingdom.
Yes.
You know, I'm just honored to share today. And really, it's one of my favorite topics, vision from God's word and prayer.
Amen.
Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 1. You know, these prophets were visionaries.
Yes, they were.
And what's amazing is that God personally gave them these visions.
Yeah.
I believe today there's a parallel for us. But let's read first. Verse 1 to 3. Amen.
Amen.
Hope you're ready to get into the word of God. Are you guys ready?
I am.
Amen. Let's go. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I'm to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come. And will not delay.
Right,
you know, so that sounds a little poetic. Yeah. Sounds like a little left field. I'm going to make it plain to you. Amen.
Okay, come on,
you know, what's amazing about the prophet right here is that he was embraced by God and called by God to bear the burden of watching Judah sink into irreparable moral quicksand.
Wow. Cool.
Violence, injustice, and idolatry characterize this once peaceful, just and faithful people. We know the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Burdened by this sad turn of events, the prophet shouted and screamed unto God for answers to his troubled heart. That's how much he loved Israel.
Amen.
He wondered why God appeared not to hear his pleas for Judah. He was perplexed why the Lord had burdened him to watch the moral and political decline of his nation while it appeared that God didn't share his heavy heart. And that's what chapter 1 is. He complains to God. And he pours out his heart to God. And in verse 1 it says, I will stand and watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he says to me. You know, it's a bit like Andrew said yesterday, the watchman. He was standing like a watchman waiting for God's answer.
Yeah, come on.
God gives him a prophecy and commands him to write it down on a tablet. You know what? What we have here today is what he wrote down.
Wow.
He obeyed God.
That's it.
God gives him a prophecy and commands him to write it down for the future. God tells him to write the revelation down. God predicted that Babylon will invade Israel. Did that happen?
Yes.
Babylon invaded Israel. I mean, think about it. No one knew that the war in Vietnam will happen.
Yeah.
And it got predicted. And there, as a father, your son goes off to war.
Wow.
Would you believe that that was predicted by the word of God?
Come on.
It was fulfilled. Why did it have to be written down? So we may know the Lord is God and that his word always comes true.
That's it. Let's go.
I mean, isn't that what is incredible? That we have the word as an anchor for our faith.
Yes.
Hope for our souls. And it always comes true.
Yes. Come on, bro.
Guess what? It's effectively apologetics.
That's it. Come on.
That's why it was written down.
Amen.
You know what? It's the amazing thing. I only got one point for you today.
Okay, let's go.
The word of God gives you faith.
Amen.
The word of God gives you faith.
Amen.
Guess what it's combined with? Vision.
Amen.
God gave him a vision. Do you have faith from the word of God?
Come on, bro. Good question.
Did your Bible study give you faith? Is that what happens in the mornings when you get in the Word of God?
Let's go, bro.
I've got two application points for you. Number one, vision is fulfilled through expectant prayer.
All right.
Like a faithful watchman stationed on a high fortress tower overlooking the valley below, Habakkuk waited to see the answers to his prayers. That's what he did. Chapter 2, verse 1, we just read it. Prayer is like a muscle, guys.
Yeah.
Your faith don't grow unless you exercise that muscle. Prayer is that muscle. It's amazing how in the parable of the persistent widow, she got what she wanted.
Yeah.
That's Luke chapter 18, verse 1.
The
judge would not hold out, but gave a judgment because he was afraid the woman would wear him out.
Come on, professor.
I mean, is that how we see God in our prayers?
Wow, come on, bro.
Vision is fulfilled through expectant prayer.
Yeah.
You know how you can tell whether you had expectant prayer? When your vision got fulfilled.
Yes.
I know you guys all have had it. That's what's so amazing about God. If we pray in faith, He will give us what we ask for.
Yes. Amen.
You know, I think of my parents moving here. We've heard it, so many have shared. Our brother Jonathan from LA, parents got baptized.
Yes.
And that is my prayer for my parents.
Amen.
But and there's many ways. You hear the brother say, call every day. I've been calling my mom every day for about a year and a half.
Come on, Jack. Let's go.
And that's what is moving her heart. But guess what I've been doing? I've been begging God in prayer.
Yes.
That they would come. The first offer on their house fell through. Yesterday, 2 days ago, they signed a new offer.
Amen.
So they're coming, amen. At the end of April, by God's grace, they'll be here. You know, Zig Ziglar wrote in his book. I don't know if Zig Ziglar was a bad guy, so please forgive me. I just heard he wrote a book. He wrote about a guy in the Vietnam War in 75. There's different accounts of this, and it's kind of a folklore thing, but it's said to be true. That the man was in prison for more than 7 years. And he loved golf. You know, Francois and Nick and I, we've been playing a little golf. And they've been teaching me. But this man would, in his mind, every day in prison camp, he would remember his golf course at home.
Yeah.
And he would imagine playing every hole.
Sure.
And it said that when he got out, he used to play a 90. He played the best round he ever played in his life, a 74.
Wow.
It said that he won a tournament. It said that from the first tee, he got a hole in one.
Wow.
What did he do? He exercised the muscle of faith.
Wow.
Is that what your prayers are like?
Come on.
To imagine the impossible. Coming in for a close year. Hebrews 10, 35. Hebrews 10,
35.
I love Hebrews, man.
Yeah.
Calling on old school disciples back to the truth. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Chapter 10, verse 35. I love this. So do not throw away your confidence. Please catch up with me. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. What is prayer? It's perseverance. Why do you think the older Christians stopped praying? Because they lost hope.
Okay, come on, bro.
Your prayer is a resemblance of your hope. Guys, it's essential. I don't know if our group of men here are at a 3 or a 5 or a 9 out of 10 in
come
prayer.
Come on, bro.
But if you're anything like me, you got to take it from a 3 to 9. Amen?
Yes.
That's where we got to be with our prayers.
Amen.
You know what's amazing about this? Calling us to persevere. It says, if you persevere, what will you get? The promise.
Yes.
Have you stopped persevering? Some brothers have big things in their lives going on. Guess what? They don't pray for it every day.
Wow, there it is.
And we say we believe in God.
Preach.
I want to call you to repentance and deep prayer with me. Amen.
Amen.
You know what's amazing about this passage? It's quoted from Habakkuk chapter 2.
Oh, amen. Come on.
This is the very quote from Habakkuk chapter 2. Christ was predicted. But it's all about faith. How do you receive what was promised? You need to persevere in prayer. Amen.
Amen.
I want to challenge you to write a prayer list.
Yeah.
I want to challenge you, join in with me, to imitate Andrew in writing a prayer journal.
Come on.
Amen.
I want to encourage you to go out praying together.
Amen.
I go regularly. I'll send you an invite. Talk to me early on, and we can pray together. Amen.
On,
there's a sacrament. Mark 1:35, Jesus went out early to pray.
Yes.
Real quick. The second application point.
Yep.
Vision is created by having God's word written on your heart.
Amen.
It says here, write it on tablets. And now you may think that's writing it on your electronic tablet right there.
Come on, bro.
No. The tablet is the tablet of your heart. Amen. Question. Do you have the word of God written on your heart this morning? You know, you can tell usually when you go out in a day. How does this apply to us? God's word is to be written today on the tablets of our hearts.
Yes.
Jeremiah 34, verse 31 to 34, talks about, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. That also gets quoted in the book of Hebrews.
Amen.
Neither will you teach your neighbor anymore, but the word of God will dwell within you. We need to have the word of God on our hearts as we go out every day. That's what this passage says. That's how you get vision. I got a question for you. Do you believe that's how you get vision, by having the word of God on your heart?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Come on, bro.
If you don't have vision, guys, there's something challenging wrong with your Bible study. You know, I love Moses, Exodus 33, verse 18. Close with this.
Come on, John. Let's go.
You know, Moses was an interesting chap. I love Andrew quoting in Hebrews that he didn't want to be known as Pharaoh's son. He wanted to be associated with his people. Verse 18. We've all read this before. Then Moses said, now show me your glory.
Yes.
He was reasoning with God. God, don't let me go if you won't go with me. What was the reasoning right here? God, I want to see your glory. Mm. You know what's amazing about that?
Yeah.
God showed himself to Moses.
Yes, he did.
Verse 31. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft, in the rock, and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. You know, imagine seeing God's face. That's what Moses wanted. God said, no, you're not going to get the full price yet. But you know what fires God up? Creativity. I bet you no one ever asked God that. Show me your glory. Yeah. He didn't say, please may I see your glory. He said, show me your glory.
Yes.
I love Moses. This resembles our faith.
Yeah.
This resembles the way that we pray. Are you that confident in God that you're his son? He'll give you anything. You can sit on his lap.
Wow.
We have the most powerful God, and yet we have shallow quiet times.
Come on.
I want to coin a phrase here in the church.
Okay.
If you don't have a hot quiet time, you had a denominational quiet time. What's a denominational quiet time? Did you read your Bible today, bro? Yeah, I read, bro. What did you learn? Well, just one or two things.
No.
I think we got to put a stop to denominational quiet times. Why?
Because
everybody knows they got to read their Bible, but they don't read it in the right way.
That's right.
We got to get fired up.
Preach, bro.
You know, we all know the scripture about seeing God. Elisha prayed in 2 Kings 6, verse 17, that his servant would see the horses and the chariots of fire. And he saw it. Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.
Yeah.
And then Revelation 22:4 says, in heaven everyone will see God and they will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. In heaven we will see God face to face. But guess what? Check out Hebrews chapter 11, right, verse 27. Hebrews chapter 11. I don't know, I just end up back in Hebrews every time. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27. By faith he left Egypt, talking about Moses, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. Do you realize that? What? That's what your quiet time is? You start seeing God who's invisible.
Come on, bro.
Here's some practicals for you. Share your quiet times. Read the Bible in a year. Get books. You know, this is a Thompson Chain Bible.
I love it.
Every disciple should have one.
Yes.
Young disciples. When I was a young disciple, I learned so much from this.
Yes.
Each of you have struggles. Some have bitterness. Some have purity. Some have marriage issues. Some have family issues. Some have incompetent government issues. Some have anger issues. Some have work and family past issues. Some have academic and permanent residence issues.
All right.
Some are missing your family and you're far away from your home and culture. And some have past relationships gone bad. Do you have vision for this year?
All right.
I woke up this year without a vision. Now I have a vision. You know what it is? I didn't believe I wanted to live for God. I listened to a couple of sermons online. And I realized, wow, I stabbed God in the back.
Yeah.
I've been bitter. I put before you my vision is to live for God this year. How? By having faith in His Word. God's Word. That's what Jesus fights. I love you all very much.
Amen,
God be all the glory. Amen.
Come on, bro.
Wow, great job, Jock.
Come on, bro.
Great job, Andrew.
Preach the word, bro.
Amen. Guys, fired up?
I am.
You guys understand vision?
Yes.
Have you guys got some vision?
No. Come on, bro.
Come on, we need vision. Isaiah 43. Just grateful for the opportunity to be able to speak. This lesson is completely for me. It wasn't written for you guys. It was written to inspire my heart.
Come on, bro.
Amen. Isaiah 43, I'm going to read in verse 8.
Preach, bro.
Lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Which of their gods foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses to prove that they were right, so that others may hear and say it's true. You know, one of the things that I've really learned since joining the new movement, I love the Bible. Thanks for that lesson, Jock. I love the Bible. I love getting into it. I think I need to definitely apply more of what I learn. But one of the things that I've learned in the new movement, hearing Kip, hearing Andrew, hearing just the leaders in that in the church, is to be able to, and it's all vision, it's to be able to take the Old Testament because it's so relevant.
Yeah.
And to get vision.
Come on.
And I appreciate the guidance by Andrew just giving us all these scriptures.
Yes.
Just as a start off to go and have a look at to say, man, I need to be able to see through God's eyes.
Yeah.
And the only way I can see through God's eyes is through His Word.
Come on.
The Old Testament's not relevant. I think a lot of times we shy away from the Bible because we're afraid that we're not going to understand it.
All right.
Guys, it's God's vision and God will allow us to understand it. But in this scripture, if you, I don't know who writes in their Bible or who thinks it disrespects God.
I don't think this.
Listen, guys, it doesn't disrespect God. There's tons of these things around.
Come
we can
on,
go
bro.
Buy one and give Bibles. Write in your Bibles, okay? So in the side there, if you, unless you disagree, write Matthew 28, 18 to 20. This is an Old Testament scripture telling us we've got to be concerned to lead out the blind. Isn't Matthew 28 about leading out the blind in the world? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey. See, I think a lot of things is we don't believe that people are blind spiritually.
There it is.
This scripture is totally the power of God. We've actually been given
the power here to go and help blind people.
That's right.
Wow. You know, I'm 48 now, and I don't consider myself old.
No, you're not.
But younger people do. Younger people will, at work, they tell me, man, you old. I didn't ever think I'd stand at a podium with these.
Oh, with glasses, come on.
Yeah, I actually wear these at home. Because I can't see you, but here I can see clearly, right? I've even got a Bible that's got big writing. And the crazy part is, I bought this for my mum. And now I'm reading it, you know what I mean?
Ah, that's funny.
So as I thought about this, we all understand vision, and you know, it can be twofold for Christians. It can be vision spiritually, and that's what we're talking about here. And it can be physically, people that are blinded, they can't see. Don't do this. But can you imagine if I run, I don't know how dependent Jock is on his glasses and Chris, can you imagine if I just run past and grab his glasses away from him? You're going to watch him struggle, man. He's going to be like, who are these people? Yeah. You know? Don't go do it, guys. Don't, just to get a kick out of it. But people out there, we are dependent. People that need glasses are dependent on their glasses. They're dependent to see.
Wow.
And I think, as disciples, the reason we don't have vision, and again, I'm preaching to myself. If we had God's vision to lead out the blind people, the church would be bigger.
Yes.
Yeah. We'd be sharing our faith like crazy. But we don't lead out the blind because I don't think we think that people are blind spiritually. You know, it's having the heart to, I loved Andrew's lesson, certain of those points in discipling is you've got to be able to be in touch with people, and that's what made Jesus so effective. Jesus was effective in his discipling because he felt people. He knew what they were going through. The woman who touched his robe, who needed healing,
go on, bro.
He knew what she was going through. He understood her pain. And the problem is we can't lead out the blind if we don't if we don't see that they need God, that they are blind. Anybody ever assisted a blind person? Ever assisted a blind person?
Yeah.
It's a struggle.
Yeah.
You're doing a good thing, but it's a struggle. You taking that person by the arm, everything slows right down. Now you still your eyes, but you their eyes.
Come on, bro.
You've got to lead them around things. You've got to take them to, you know, get it. Oh, there's a chair, there's this, there's that. And things become easier for them, but it becomes almost harder for you. And it's almost spiritually, that's how we are. We want to try and lead blind people spiritually to faith, but yet we blind. And we can become labored. And we've got to be careful. We've got to be able to fix up the things in our lives. So how are we going to do this? I think the first thing is we can only effectively lead out spiritually blind people if we start working on our own lives.
That's right.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Amen. And I was so convicted when I put this lesson together. I just really wanted to give my heart more to leading out the spiritually blind. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to read from verse 4. The God of this age, who's the God of this age?
Satan.
Thank you. Guys, it's not rocket science,
no.
Right? The God of this age, but you can tell it's a small g, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. See, Satan is busy. Satan blinds people. But when I had a look at this, you know, if I go up to denominational Christianity and things like this, we're afraid to call people lost that go to church. No, but a lot of people aren't, right? A lot of we're so accepting that, oh, just because you call yourself a Christian, but let me tell you who that person is, and we have it in our churches, is they are blind people.
Yes, they are.
They are people that claim to see, but they can't see.
Yes, that's it.
And those are the people that, are you just going to hold their hand and try and help lead them? Because then it's a blind person leading a blind person.
Wow.
Because you're throwing in those obstacles of sentimentality. The only way you can do that is you've got to understand who's blinded them.
Come on, bro.
The very book that Andrew preached out of earlier on, 1 Thessalonians, talks about that Satan masquerades as an angel of light.
Come on, bro.
And Satan blinds people with what? With truth. Mm. The blind people, the spiritually blind people, are sitting in churches today. And if we are walking past the church and just going, oh, they lost. Stop. They what?
They are lost. What are we doing about it?
Yeah, on,
ever bro. Thought of going in that door where there's people that if you close their door, there's 200 people that are lost and they can't go anywhere? Maybe we need to be bold enough to go and preach to those people.
Okay,
there are brothers in Africa, in Haiti, that are converting whole churches. Where are they? Whole churches.
Yes.
They're not allowing the blind to walk around blind.
Wow.
There's a great scripture. I'm grateful Andrew brought it to my attention. Isaiah 59. And we know the scripture because we share it in two of our studies. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. And I think I want to encourage you guys today with the first principles. We're coming up to learn them.
Amen.
Don't just read the one or two verses we quote.
Amen.
Read further. Because when you get an understanding of the whole scripture, you get an understanding of the study that we're doing better. So we know in Isaiah 59 says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, or his ear too dull to hear, but it is your iniquities that have separated him from you, your sin that has hidden his face from you. But let's keep reading down in verse 9 and 10. It says, I love this picture. So justice is far from us, and righteousness does not reach us. Who's righteous? The disciples of Jesus Christ are supposed to be the righteous.
Right.
But it's not reaching us because we're not going out. We just accepting the blindness. We look for light, but all is darkness. People are searching, guys. They wouldn't be running to these buildings if they weren't searching for God.
Come on, bro.
Blind people, I have not met a blind person that's happy with his blindness. They've accepted it, but they're not happy with it. They don't want to be born blind. How many blind people in the Gospels cried out to Jesus to heal them? Because they were sick and tired of being blind. For brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. Verse 10. Like the blind, we grope along the wall, feeling our way like people without eyes. At midday, we stumble. Midday, we stumble as if it were twilight. Among the strong, we are like the dead. Guys, there are people out there that read their Bibles every day, that have quiet times probably more than some disciples, but they are blind. But maybe we're blind. Maybe in this room we need help.
Preach, let's go.
We need to start taking. We need to ask for help. Oh well.
You got 5 minutes, bro.
Amen. Let's go to Matthew 15. So I want to give us some practicals just to be able to help us, just to get a little bit of vision. Let's go to Matthew 15.
Awesome.
Again, another scripture. We know verse 1 through 9 is they were Jesus and his disciples were in the temple, and they come to him and they start asking him, why do you disciples break the traditions of the elders? And we always stop at verse 9.
Come on, bro.
But let's keep reading. Verse 10. So after he gets sort of persecuted by these Pharisees, the religious blind people, Jesus called the crowd to him. Always lessons to learn, right? And said, listen and understand. Don't just listen. Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but it's what comes out of their mouth that is what defiles them. Yeah. Then the disciples came to him and asked, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?
Yeah.
So we do verse 1 through 9. Jesus having this conversation. He basically tells them, your worship's in vain.
Right.
To the blind church leaders. The disciples hear them grumbling afterwards. I can picture this. Jesus is over there walking on. He's done what he's wanted to do. And the disciples hang by like, oh my gosh, is Jesus nuts? Who's he? What? You must remember that these guys were religious. These were their teachers.
That's
right. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm sure Jesus didn't mean it. Jesus, do you understand that you offended them?
Come on, bro. Talk about it.
See, I think we got to stop being afraid of offending people with the truth.
Yes.
See, blind people are not afraid. They want to see. Are we afraid of sharing people the truth that we have seen? See, when somebody studied the Bible with me, they showed me the truth.
Amen.
It is the truth that changed my heart.
Preach.
Not the guy that was studying the Bible with me. He was a great guy. Many of you know him. Artie Baker is my spiritual dad. I love Artie. But I didn't convert because of Artie.
Amen.
I converted because the scales fell from my eyes and I was convicted. So yes, six little practicals.
Come on, bro.
I believe that if we're gonna start seeing that we've got to get out of blindness, is we've got to be vigilant. We've got to be aware of what is from God. I'm just going to quote a scripture. You can write it down. Okay. 1 Peter 5:8. It says that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour.
That's
right. Right? We've got to be aware of what's going on. Amen. If you know the truth and you can see spiritually, Satan's after
Come on,
you.
Bro.
The second thing is you've got to be indignant.
Yes.
You've got to be indignant about sin. I love all the lessons. They always tie in. Somebody always shares something and we can just expound on it. See, we've got to be able to see sin in ourselves before we see sin in others. Wow. And then once I've worked it out in my own life, I can help somebody else.
Yes.
The third thing is, and again, this isn't, guys, there's so much more. This is just a 15-minute lesson, is we've got to be spiritual. We got to be spiritual. In our prayers at every leaders meeting, we pray to be holy.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 2:14, Paul calls us to pray. 1 Thessalonians, pray continue, chapter 4. The fourth thing is we've got to stop being independent. Church is about family.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 12, I love this. If you ever want to learn the Bible, I don't know who did this. I'm sure God's hand was on it. There were no chapters in the original Bible. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about family. Romans 12 talks about family. And the two books come straight after each other. It's pretty cool. All right, so Romans 12. Point number, was that number?
Five.
We're the sold out movement. And I spell this sold, S-O-U-L-E-D.
Okay.
It's all got to do with our souls. We are sold out. We've got to be in 100%. And that doesn't mean we're still overshadowed with this thinking that unless I'm perfect, God won't accept me. No, that's why Jesus died, because we're not perfect. It's no excuse, though. And then the next one is we've got to be of noble character.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not done with my lesson, but that be vigilant, the V. Be indignant, the I. Be S, spiritual. Don't be independent, the I. Be 100, the O. And be of noble character, spells vision.
Yeah, come on, bro.
Our character is what needs to change after baptism.
Amen.
We are a work in progress, guys.
Mm.
And we've got to treat people that way. I'm almost done. One more scripture. Mark chapter 8, verse 22, and then
come
I'm
on,
done.
Bro. Come on, bro. Come on.
Mark chapter 8, verse 22. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand, and he led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and he said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." I asked myself a question here. I said, did Jesus, was he losing it? Couldn't he heal the guy the first time?
Come on, bro.
You know what I mean? And then I thought, no, Jesus is perfect. It had nothing to do with Jesus. There was a spiritual lesson in you.
Amen. Come on.
You see, sometimes we get baptized, right? And we see, but we don't see clearly.
Amen.
And we need to go back again and go, or we need to ask his disciples, number one, do you see? Can you see properly? And then number two, do I have the heart to say no? I see people, but they look like trees.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the second thing is sometimes we see people as not people.
Come on, bro.
We see them as trees. I took a photo this morning in my quiet time. I'm not going to show you guys now. You can come to me afterwards. I walked outside. I've got a beautiful little patio and there's beautiful trees and bushes. And I took photographs and I was like, wow, these trees are beautiful. But I'm not going to go and convert the trees.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But if I see people like I see those trees, just beautiful things walking around,
mm-hmm.
I'll never have the heart to convert them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never have the heart to evangelize them. And we've got to have the heart of this guy that goes back and says, I can't see. See, Jesus spat in his eyes. I don't know, just picture that for a minute.
Yeah.
Spat, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm just, thank God the guy couldn't see where it was coming from. He probably thought it was water, you know?
Ugh.
And sometimes there's still a little bit of Jesus' spit in our eyes. And it just takes it washing it out again. When you get baptized, you've not arrived. Brothers, I just want to leave you with this. Looking backwards, looking back to your old life all the time, it arrests progress.
Yes. Yeah.
Looking at difficult things in your life is just going to depress you.
Come on, bro.
Amen. Looking heavenward glorifies. And looking Christward saves.
Amen.
It's all about vision. Let's have a great time to go and reach the lost. I love you so much. You guys are amazing.
Good job, man.
Come on, bro. Come on, bro. Come on. Come on, Josh.
All right, my brothers.
Come on, bro. Come on, Josh.
So, I'm bringing it home with the vision to plant churches. Now, today I decided, you know, for the first time since I've reached Johannesburg soil, I'm going to wear my natives.
Hey,
you know what I'm saying? I should keep it cool, you know. But I got this native because we were on the mission team in Lagos.
Yes.
And if you guys want more natives like this, I'm going to show you guys how to get some today.
Okay.
Lele, I'd love for you to show us a map.
All right.
Guys, this right here is the Africanus World Center.
Whoa, all right, bro.
Awesome. So, this is amazing. The church that Andrew planted back in 2009 is the DC Church, which is part of our World Center in the U.S. And then 2015, we have the Ivory Coast, 2016, Nigeria. We get 2018, the Congo. And then 2019, Johannesburg, South Africa.
Wow, man.
And we don't know what God's plan is, but hopefully we can get to Kenya in the next few years.
Man, come on, bro.
Amen. So we have 5 planted churches and 12 remnant groups. And I got to ask you guys one question. Which country do you want?
Mm.
Which country is yours up there?
Because
if you want something like this, yeah, you're going to have to go out there. You're going to have to go out there and get
come
it.
On, bro.
You know, and Neil, I want you to show the next one. And this is right now our numbers. Andrew broke it down for me the other day. Guys, there are 1,322 souls to account for in our Africanus World Sector.
Wow. That's
awesome. 805 are in churches and 517 in remnant groups. So if you guys think that we're just one small little pocket here, you're mistaken. We're part of a huge family.
Come on, bro.
And, you know, it's kind of funny because, interestingly, Johannesburg, right, we're small in number right now, but it's kind of funny. I looked at it, and it's kind of like Great Britain. You know how, like, Great Britain was, like, small, but ended up being the empire that controlled everything? That's sort of what Johannesburg really is. Because we are the pillar church for all of this.
Wow.
So all the leaders that are going to help out all these different places around the world, guess where they're going to come from? They're going to come from right here. So the conclusion of the matter is very simple. We need leaders.
Yes.
We need men that want to step up, that want to plant churches.
Bro.
And you know, in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 13 to 16, let's all turn there.
Come on, Josh.
No problem. It says, we, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but we'll confine our boast into the spirit of service God has assigned us to, a spirit that also includes you. So, you know, guys, with all this that God is doing, we're not boasting because we know this is the Lord. But what does the Bible say here in 2 Corinthians 10? It says that he has assigned each of us to a spirit of service in our own little territory. And which one is our spirit of service? It's right there, Johannesburg, South Africa. But I love what Paul reminds. He says, this sphere also includes you. And one of the things is that we have to take responsibility for our little sphere right here in Johannesburg. It was cool that at the wedding, Miguel explained something that was really cool. He said that the ring is a circle because the ring represents eternity and unity. So that's what the shape of a circle represents, right? So a sphere is like a 3D circle, right?
Yeah.
Three-dimensional unity, that's what we need, amen? Yeah. And the Bible says, as we continue reading, says, verse 14 says, we are not going too far in our boasting as would be the case if we had not come to you, for we did not get as far with you with the gospel of Christ. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that your faith, as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand. So how does the sphere, the small sphere here in Johannesburg, expand?
Come on.
With activity.
Wow.
Without activity, the sphere cannot grow. Right? So we got to be actively sharing our faith. We got to be actively involved in Bible studies, actively involved in meetings of the body, actively building up family, actively getting into discipling relationships, and see that our little Bible talks are like the little mini spheres that make it bigger. You know, the sphere is only as powerful as the consistency of our activity. And where does this activity come from? He says it again. He says what? He says, as our faith grows. So where does all this ability to do the things we need to do come from?
Faith.
Amen. You know, guys, I appreciate the brothers getting open about, you know, the fact that, you know, being a disciple is not easy. It's, yeah. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of focus. But you know what? It means we need a lot of faith. We need to be poured into. Trying to do the work of God without faith is like an engine trying to run without oil. It's going to rust up. It's going to knock. It's going to explode if it's not careful, right? It's, we need to have faith in order to do all these things. In Hebrews 11, verse 13 to 16, you don't have to turn there because of time. But I love it. Hebrews 11 is like the hall of faith.
You're doing great, bro.
And he says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They had only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking about the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them.
Wow.
You know, so, you know, bro, I want you to go back to the map.
Yeah, there we go.
So we're all going to choose one country here, right?
All right.
But the ultimate country where we belong to is actually heaven.
That's right.
And the reason why we can advance forward is because we're not thinking about where we're leaving. We're not thinking about the past. We're thinking about the true city of heaven that we want to get to. It was crazy that at the wedding, Chalo had quite an international show out of people. And it was cool because all these people are the professionals, make money, traveled around the world. Some of them came into the wedding for that one weekend. Like, so these guys are making money. They're just coming in for a weekend wedding and then flying back, right?
Amen.
But, you know, it's crazy. As we were talking to them, so the guy next to me, he gives the toast because he's Chalo's friend from high school. He's a guy from Sweden, Stockholm, Sweden. And so as we're talking to these different professionals, internationals, oh, wow, you traveled here and there. What did you do? Oh, we went to see this site. Oh, we worked for this job. Oh, we grabbed a beer with a couple friends. As I was talking to them, I began to become unimpressed.
Wow. Yeah.
Because, like, what were you doing with all of that traveling?
Just
shooting the breeze?
Right. Yeah.
Bridge.
How amazing it is to get to travel and actually change lives.
Wow. Come on, Josh.
Yeah, the disciples there probably made like 1/5 of the salary that the people in that room made.
Come on.
But let me tell you what.
Come on, bro.
At that wedding, we had the most impressive stories.
Yes.
Because our stories were all about how we went to different countries and we helped souls come to Christ.
Come on.
And people who even in the world saw it and were like, wow. You know, it's funny. Shiloh was talking to this girl. She's a model for Head and Shoulders. But she had no light in her eyes. She had no joy about her job or whatever. And Shiloh was explaining to her how she wants to open a clothing brand to help perpetuate women's modesty.
Amen.
So, like, with the purpose, like, the woman she was talking to was impressed. Why? Because the things we do and the reasons we do it when there's a special spiritual reason, that is what's amazing, right?
Come on, bro.
It's amazing to have a world mindset with the right purpose. And I'm very excited for our brother Kevin who's coming in. I was able to speak with him, and I told him one thing, that his spiritual IQ is going to increase.
Yes, it is.
You know, when you travel, your IQ increases mentally.
Wow, yeah.
But when you travel for God, your spiritual IQ increases.
Oh, wow.
And when you share your faith and you go to different places around Johannesburg, your spiritual IQ begins to increase. So I want everybody's spiritual IQ to go up. And there was a young kid who had an amazing spiritual IQ. His name was Timothy. And we're going to read about him in Acts 15, verse 1 to 5.
Right.
So, In Acts 16, verse 1 to 5, it says, Paul came to Derbe, then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who had lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in number.
Amen.
So Timothy was an amazing young guy that Paul raised up. And there's a couple things about Timothy where we can imitate. First of all, the reason Paul asked him to come with him is because he had a great reputation. He was known as a godly guy amongst different cities. And, you know, guys, you know, I know we sometimes we get so kind of weird about, oh, I don't want to be prideful. I don't want to, you know.
Right.
But nah, man. Nah, no. We weren't born to be mediocre. Like,
right.
We should want to be great. We should actually want a great reputation amongst each other. Not to be praised, not to boast, but to see that, hey, look, even through a sinful man like me, God has worked. Right.
That's right.
We should desire to have a great reputation. We should desire to be to work hard like our leaders, right?
Preach.
The other thing about Timothy is that he was willing to circumcise his life. And if you want to be in a mission team, or if you want to be in the mission field, you also have to be willing to give up anything, whether it's houses, whether it's possessions, whether it's dreams. One of my favorite scriptures about Timothy, you don't have to turn there, we don't have the time, is in 2 Timothy 2:20. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Go back and please write it down. And I'll just write it to you guys. It says, in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some are for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work.
Wow.
I love that scripture because it explains there's two types of people. There's those used for special reasons and those for common reasons. If you want to be special, you got to cleanse yourself of the common.
Right.
So if you want to be a special brother, guess what? You got to cleanse yourself of common dreams, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the South African dream is, get rid of it. Whatever the American dream was, get rid of it, right? Mm-hmm. We got to now what? Expand our view. Expand the vision that Nick and Jacques were talking about.
Amen.
Right? And the other thing is that it's kind of funny. He was a Greek man, so he had access. And one of the things that we are learning is, you know, with this whole visa stuff, you know, guys, just keep praying that it could work. But we really got to, if we want to be a missionary, we got to start applying for access early.
Yes.
And just figuring out what it takes, you know, just going through all the strains it takes to get access, you know. And I hope you guys are still at, what's the scripture? Acts 16. Because I want to read something from verse 6 to 10, which is pretty amazing.
Come on, bro. Let's go, brother.
It says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they traveled over to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia, went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave from Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them.
Amen.
This was amazing because Paul and the disciples were driven by God. But the Bible actually says the Holy Spirit stopped them from going to the city where they wanted to go. The Holy Spirit stopped them from going to Asia. Why would the Holy Spirit do that? Well, one, I do think it's also to test the loyalty of the men. And because, you know, I appreciate Luke's heart. It says, Paul got the vision, but we got ready to go. So they got right behind Paul, even though the vision didn't directly come to them, right? And so we got to be right behind our leaders. Amen?
Amen.
That's the first thing. And then the second thing is, what was in Asia? What was in Asia? What was in Asia was the city of Ephesus.
Mm.
The city of Ephesus would end up being the pillar church for Asia, not only just Asia, but all the Gentile churches eventually.
Yeah.
There's a reason why it's the first one rebuked in Revelations, right? So, but before they got to the pillar city, God needed them to go through a journey to train and learn how to be the men they need to be before
right,
they
Josh.
Get there. And so here's the cities he took them. He took them to Lystra, where they were in a prison and they had to learn how to sing.
Wow.
And we got to learn how to sing in our hardships. Amen?
Amen.
Before they got there, he took them to Thessalonica so they can be part of a mob and they had to fight a mob. They had to physically stand up and show that, you know what, even in the physical beatdown of men, we're going to preach the word of God. He had to go and meet the Bereans so that the 21st century modern day movement, the Soda movement, can use the Bereans in our first principle studies to teach people to walk, to study the Bible daily. They had to go to Athens and discuss philosophy with the Greeks there so they can learn how to win over those who were educated.
That's good, bro. Come on.
They had to go to Corinth to learn how to deal with worldliness and preach properly about the spiritual gifts. They had to continue going and meet amazing people like Priscilla and Aquila, who would become pillar couples for many people in the region. And they had to raise up another amazing pillar-ready evangelist named Apollos. All of that had to happen. And then finally, in Acts 19, they get to walk into Ephesus. So God had to train them before he got them to the place he wanted them to be. And you know, guys, I do truly trust Andrew a lot with my heart. And I trust a lot of you guys with my heart. You know why? Because I believe you guys have been trained. I'm one of the guys that used to fight the winds of God. I don't know if you've ever tried to fight a storm, and it's not pretty. There was a storm called Hurricane Katrina. I'm coming in for a close. Hurricane Katrina was so powerful. It happened in Florida. I lived in Maryland, and we were feeling the effects. Let me explain to you what that means geographically. No, Port Elizabeth is having a hurricane. We're feeling the effects in East Mozambique. Wow. Like, that's how far it went.
Yeah.
So my little sister's across the street, and I have to walk across the street to go and get her. And that little 20-yard walk felt like half a mile. Because the winds were just blowing, right? Wow. And the umbrella was just, like, the umbrella was coming out of my hand, and the rain jacket wasn't working. It was just crazy. And it was me. I finally rescued my sister from across the street, came back inside. And you know, one thing I realized is, I always look back to that, and that's probably the most powerful storm I've been a part of. And I realized that God's will, according to John 3, verse 8, is a powerful storm.
Yes, it is.
The Bible says that the wind will blow us wherever we please. Now, you can be like me and put on your raincoat and your umbrella and try to fight the storm, or you can go with the flow. You can go with the flow and be the force of nature that God wants you to be. That's my only point for today. Brothers, if we want to be missionaries, we got to be the force of nature that God calls us to be. Not fight against the storm. Not fight when things are going wrong. Not get frustrated when results are not happening. But going with the flow and understanding that God's plan is sovereign. You know, by the time they get to Ephesus, they're ready to plant the church. And to come in for a closing.
Go ahead, bro.
So sorry, guys, I lost my notes here.
This is great, man.
Come on, Josh.
The pillar city needed pillar men.
Wow.
And you got to ask yourself, are you willing to go through the journey it takes to become a pillar man? And right now, guys, this time, if you've been brought to the church around this time, and it's amazing Andrew prayed that we got 12 with us.
Amen.
If you've been brought here, guess what? God wants you to be a pillar guy.
Amen.
Guys, let's be the force of nature we were born to be. We have a lot of work to do,
yes.
And we're going to need men to raise up with the vision to plant churches, and to God be the glory.
Awesome, bro. Great job.
Great job.